a fading parameter times the path loss, and we'll, for the rest of the talk, we'll assume that this fading component Hij is exponentially distributed with parameter 1. And then there is all these other nodes are also transmitting at the same time, which are creating interference. So for the negative results I'll talk about, assume that all these nodes are making independent decisions using an Aloha protocol, and we'll give you one solution where we'll step away from Aloha and try to see what one can get. So this is the typical model one assumes, and then we are going to look at a connection being successful between these two nodes, which are denoted by a blue line, if the SINR between them is greater than a threshold beta. And remember that we are considering, so we are not dropping the interference noise component here. Everything we'll say will be for the SINR model. And here is what Martin told us about, that since the SINR is a random variable, there are multiple attempts required for this condition to get satisfied. It's not always that in one shot you will get SINR to be greater than beta, and let's assume that time is what we are interested in. That's the delay or the number of retransmissions one has to make so that your transmission becomes successful. And here is one fundamentally limiting results, assuming that the network is Poisson and we make no further assumptions, that the expected delay to any node is infinite. It's not that the nearest neighbor or the second nearest to, it's just that it takes infinite time in expectation to just exit the packet from one particular node. So here is an illustration that you look at this particular source. Let's say the time to go from this node to this node is T1, this is T2, T3, and so on. And you take the minimum time across the whole network, and that has an infinite expectation. So this is something very, very fundamental, that you make no extra assumptions on the network, and you just take infinite time to even exit the packet. Forget about the packet going to the destination. It just can't exit from the source. That's taking infinite time to get. And it's happening even in the absence of interference. So even if you have no interference, nobody else is talking at the same time. That is, you remove all the interfering links and just think of your signal working against the noise. That's the only. So rather than SINR, you just look at the SNR. Still the same condition holds, and the real bottleneck is that in a Poisson network, there are unbounded size holes. So the noise just doesn't allow you to go across to a particular distance. So this is like the negative result. And there is even more bad news, that this is only one shot, that if you want to look at so that's what we coined the term information velocity, which might be there somewhere else in the literature as well. So let's assume that from the source towards the destination, in time t, let d of t be the distance traveled by this packet towards the destination. And let's define this ratio, which is in some sense it's a velocity measure, that is the distance divided by the time, and take this limit to infinity. The same paper shows that this limit also is going to zero. That the rate at which packets can go to the destination is essentially going to zero in a Poisson network. That's what is happening. And one can expect it once we have shown the previous thing, that the expected time to exit, is infinity. So these are all the bad results, and these are extremely bad. One has to like really think beyond this, that if you're an engineer trying to model your network as a Poisson point process, and if this is the bottom line, what are you going to do with it? So one remedy, the same paper also gives a remedy, that how do you go away from this infinite delay and zero velocity, is to put a regular grid on top of this network, and then things can be made sensible, that the delay as well as the velocity can be made non-trivial. But that's like, because the whole point of a Poisson network was that there is enough symmetry, or there is like enough ad hocness in some sense, where things can be arbitrarily placed and you still have some analysis help. But now if you put an extra grid, that just takes away that. So even though you're analytically, you're back in business, but from a modeling point of view, that's not the greatest thing to do. So you're thinking for a while, if you're not going to put a regular grid on top of it, is there something one can do to get back the finiteness of delay and a non-zero information velocity? So all the results I'm going to show are in that direction, that one doesn't have to go only this way. There are other ways without having to make any assumption about the no noise condition or like distance between two nodes to be fixed. You don't have to make any assumption. You just need to give me some little more extra information and I can get away with it. So here is what we are going to do, which I call a more practical solution. So think about a source and destination. What we are going to do is we are going to sectorize the whole network, and let's assume a sector with angle phi, and look at, as I call this as not a sector, it's as a cone, and divide your network at this particular point in several sectors or cones, and look at the cone which contains the destination. And I'm going to look at the nearest neighbor of my source in this particular cone. And this is distance is what is going to play an important role. What I'm going to do is the following, that I'm going to try to send my packet to this particular node, which is the nearest neighbor in the cone that contains the destination. That's the first point, which we call as the conic forwarding. That you look at the cone which contains the destination and try to reach him. We are not going to worry about other people. There are many other candidates where you can forward your packet, but this is the candidate we are going to look at. And as before, the signal power between these two is the fading times the path loss, and SINR is this. And here is the bigger punch, that what we are going to do with this. So this is the extra information which I need, that I need to know, the source needs to know the distance between these two guys. That is D of IJ, which is the nearest neighbor in the destination cone. If suppose the source knows this, he's going to use that information to do a following power control. Typically power control requires the fading knowledge. We are not going to use that because that's not really required. If one has it, maybe something more can be done, but we are not going to use that. We are going to use the static information, which is the distance information. So the power the source I is going to send is some constant times the inverse of the path loss. So if farther the distance between them, more is the power which is going to get transmitted. So in a Poisson network, it can be that the nearest neighbor can be arbitrarily large distance. So if you just do this, you might not meet your average power constraint. To take care of that, what you do is, you don't transmit with aloha or like fixed probability. You compensate for exactly this. So capital PI is the power you're transmitting. You do an inverse on that. And M is the average power constraint. So if you take the expected value of these two products, then the average power transmitted by any source is less than capital M. So what is happening is that you're transmitting with higher power, potentially, if your nearest neighbor is far away, but very less frequently. So you're compensating that by transmitting very, very seldomly. So this is all the recipe I have. The only extra information I've got is that I need to know the distance between the two nodes. I have not made any assumptions. This is what all I need.
You have Dijkstra maintenance?
Not really. We don't have to know. These are all isotropic. Only the power is being selected according to the distance of the nearest neighbor. That's all I'm doing. So here are the results. That the expected delay to nearest neighbor is finite. One can show that. We have an explicit bound, and that is finite, but that's not the tightest bound. And it needs much more work to nail it down to the minimum possible or the best possible delay we can get. But we can show that it's finite. And on top, we can show that the information velocity is also positive. So both of these are the concrete results one can get with a very simple recipe, which is power control, not dependent on the fading. It doesn't need any information about the fading, which is changing much more rapidly than the distance between the two people.
You just need a huge power that's linear and that has no limit.
So average power constraint is what is met. Peak power constraint is not met.
But the only real practical power constraint is the peak one. The average is very important.
Right. So if you... Yeah, I'll accept that criticism. So peak power... We are not constraining, we are only constraining the maximum average constraint.
And in fact, you don't have to pass controls either. Oh, yes, you
do. Okay, we can debate that, but for the moment, let's just accept that and let's move on. All right. So, here is the primer on like where does that negative result come from? So, essentially, what boils down to is that if you look at the minimum delay to any sort, it is called also called the exit delay or the local delay, there are many names by which it goes, that the probability that is greater than some quantity k is lower bounded 1 over k, and then this just tells you that the expectation is infinite. So this is what the bottom line is. So if you show this, the negative result is done. But because I want to prove a positive result, I need to do like completely different analysis. And I'll just give you a few like pressure points where what we really started out to do, okay, here is a simple policy, can we get a finite delay? And every time we make a fix, something else was going wrong. So that took us almost a year to fix everything put together. And here is one of the biggest challenges which shows up because of this new policy. So what we are doing, just to recap, is that every node is trying to send its packet to the nearest neighbor in the destination cone. That's what is happening. And everybody has a different, potentially different cone to transmit. And what happens is that these choice of cones are time correlated. Because if you're making a transmission to your nearest neighbor, you're also affecting somebody else because he's transmitting to his neighbor in that particular cone. So if you are successful, possibly he's also successful. If you are unsuccessful, possibly he's also unsuccessful. So all these choices of cones are extremely correlated. So one can't handle it directly. So that's one of the problems. And another point is that earlier it was sufficient to condition over the location of the nodes, that you take one snapshot of the Poisson process, find what you want to find, and then uncondition it. Here, because the cones, choice of cones is correlated across time, you need to add something more, which is the sigma algebra generated by all the possible cones, the choice of cones any other node can take. So that makes it slightly more complicated, that you got to have this another beast sitting, which is the sigma algebra generated by all the possible choices of cones. So here is one idea how do we like overcome all this. That fix a particular choice, that let's assume that you're interested in transmission from O to the nearest neighbor of O, and every other node is trying to do the same thing. And if you're assuming that you're unsuccessful for time k, like consecutively you're unsuccessful between this O and NO for k times, then the choice of cone does not change, because you're attempting to make the transmission for k time slots to the same person, because you're unsuccessful for k time slots. So we're conditioning that t is greater than k. So for k consecutive slots, I was unsuccessful, so I have not changed the choice of my cone, because I'm just trying to reach him first. While everybody else could be doing something else, he might be successful at the first go, the second time, and potentially he could go to the end, like try to change the choice of cone here. And essentially what happens is that the power any other node is transmitting keeps changing for the k slots for which you are unsuccessful. So this is where the problem starts. But what we try to do is we look at the worst possible choice of cone for this particular transmission to happen from everybody else. That's the worst possible choice, and that's one we pick up to break the sigma algebra into much smaller pieces and try to do some simple analysis. And here is what happens. Even if you pick the worst possible choice of cone, because we have constrained the average power to be less than m, this is also true for the average interference seen by any particular receiver. These are not actual derivation information I'm giving you. This is only a high level side, that the average interference power received at any node is also bounded, and you can use things in averaging. And finally, if you assume that your power path loss function behaves or is integrable, then somehow you can use the Campbell's theorem to show that your average delay is finite. So this is what the bottom line is. The choice of cones being correlated makes it slightly much more harder to control things because of this enlarged sigma algebra. So that's the story about the average delay. We are not done yet, because information velocity doesn't automatically become greater than zero as soon as you show the average delay is finite. You still have to work for it. So here is the way to deal. So just to recap, the information velocity is nothing but the distance covered by the particle or covered by the packet in time t, and take the ratio with respect to t. So think about your O as your source and destination being far away on the x-axis. We are going to take this approach. And because of our conic forwarding strategy, what is going to happen is O is going to transmit to the nearest neighbor, which is represented here as x1. X1 is going to transmit it to x2, and so on and so forth toward the destination. So what is the actual distance covered by the particle in one hop is nothing but the projection of x1 on the x-axis, projection of x2 on the x-axis, and so on and so forth. So this is the actual progress which is happening from the source towards the destination in one hop. And the times which it takes from going from O to x1 is t0, x1 to x2 is t1, and so on and so forth. So the first case one makes, assuming you have shown that expected value of t0 is finite, expected value of t1 is finite, which we have done already, that this should be the right quantity to look at. That the numerator is nothing but the projection divided by the time it takes. But not quite. If you just use this information, this might be the right thing, but it's difficult to show that this is actually true. What we will be able to show is that if you enhance this ti to something more, then one can show that that actually is true. So what really went on is the following, that essentially T0 and T1 are not identically distributed. If they were, my first guess would be right. And why it's not true? Because if you look at X1 to X2 transmission, this O is like some kind of a special transmitter, which has no other interferer sitting inside here. That's one of the problems. And O is also, so when you let's assume that you are at x1 and you see at a particular distance at which there is a transmitter, and on top this area is completely void. So there are some special characteristics difference between T0 and T1, and as you go along this chain T2, T3 and T4, everything backwards looks special. So one can easily show that these guys, the sequence here T0 is T1, is not identically distributed, not stationary either, so one can't use that. So to fix that, we got to, I think this is, I was told later that this has been used previously as well, we were not aware. This is the simple trick. What you do is you add virtual transmitters in an infinite chain backwards, just to break the non-stationarity of it. So what you do is, you're essentially, your transmitters are at 0, x1 and x2, you add virtual transmitters at a distance of r minus 1, which is the same as, so the distribution of r minus 1 is same as r1, and theta minus 1 is the same distribution as theta 1. At x minus 1, you do the same thing in the reverse direction. So you're adding an infinite chain backwards in towards infinity of these transmitters. So that can only increase the delay. And we're going to show that even that enhanced delay is still has finite expectation. And then one can use the ergodic theorem to settle down what you wanted to settle. So these guys are picked up as same as the nearest neighbor distributions here. And on top, because these... This is another thing one has to do, that these areas were vacant because of the conditioning. You add Poisson points which are independently sampled with the same intensity as before, so that if you are sitting at x1 or x2 or x3, the network looks the same backwards or forwards. That also one has to do. So there are two things to do. One is add these extra transmitters and fill in lots of these all these void areas with the same distribution, independent copy of the Poisson process. Once you do that, then the network looks homogeneous, and the new delays, which are enhanced delays because of the extra transmitters here, which is put up by a T0 hat and T1 hat, those guys are also identically distributed, they are stationary, and have finite expectation. So, similar to before, one can show that even with this enhanced interference, the expected delay is still finite. And then, we are in good shape. Using ergodic theorem, what one can show is that the information velocity is at least as much as the expected value. So our first guess, remember, was expected value of the progress in one hop divided by the time it takes without the hat. That doesn't work out. That maybe that's right, we can't show that. But with the T hat, slightly more enhanced delay, which is finite, everything is fine here, one can show that this is at least this much, which is non-zero. So these are the two results we have. Going forward, I think there is like much more to be done. Even in an as long as you don't assume the model which is very popular, I have used it many times, that the transmitter and receiver are at a fixed distance away, and then you are looking at the whole network and what's happening with this. Except for that model, whenever you are thinking of two nodes having so you're not conditioning on two nodes to be at a fixed distance away, I think this is a very important strategy to break things like the expected time to be infinity and the rate at which things are going to the destination towards zero. Much more needs to be explored. This is just a starting point, and I'll stop with that.